Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be discussing or continuing to discuss a series we began a few weeks ago, where we're taking a look at this idea of spiritual gifts. In particular today, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts and church division. Wait a second. Spiritual gifts, as we've seen in our recent teachings, spiritual gifts sovereignly given by the Lord to each individual believer for the purpose of building up and blessing the body of Christ, all for the glory of Christ. Spiritual gifts, divine enablements given to each believer as the Holy Spirit has willed, given for the common good. Wait a second. Today's theme is spiritual gifts and what? Church divisions? Yeah. Those two things don't go together, do they? Or they shouldn't go together, should they? But unfortunately, as we're going to see in that church in Corinth 2,000 years ago, those two things were happening. Unfortunately, in many modern churches today, the same thing happens today. People are confused about spiritual gifts. It creates all kinds of different controversies regarding spiritual gifts. Certain people feel that they can keep bugging God and asking God to give them the best and most showy and popular gifts. And the people want these gifts not to build up and bless the body, but they want these gifts to be able to show off and show out and to show everybody how super, super spiritual they really are. And there occurs, as a result, division in the body. Spiritual gifts? Division in the church? What? Well, if you've been with us in this series we started a few weeks ago, we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we took a look at the first 7 verses where the Apostle Paul was discussing the importance of spiritual gifts to the confused Corinthians in that church back then. We saw what spiritual gifts are. We saw who receives spiritual gifts. We saw how we receive them, and we saw the purpose of each individual believer having spiritual gifts. Again, to bless the body. No such thing as self-edification. No such thing as being selfish and just holding on to your gifts and using them for your own selfish interests. No, we have received spiritual gifts. God has sovereignly chosen to design a unique combination of gifts for each individual believer. Why? To bless the church, to bless the body, and bring glory to Christ. And so we saw when we began this series, verses 1 through 7, again, the importance of gifts. And again, knowing the background, many of the Corinthians in that church back then were misusing and even abusing this idea of spiritual gifts. Last time, verses 8 through 11, we took a look at a list of various different spiritual gifts. It was not an exhaustive list, but nevertheless, we talked about the difference between what are called the temporary miraculous gifts, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those gifts we discussed were temporary gifts given to a specific group of people, the apostles and those closely associated with them, for a specific time, first century, for a specific reason to validate or authenticate the message they were preaching about Christ until the New Testament was finished. But those gifts were temporary, and they've ceased. When the canon of Scripture was completed, end of the first century, when the last living apostle died, John, end of the first century, we teach that those miraculous gifts ceased. But the Lord has still given to his church permanent ministry gifts, such as the gift I'm using right now, the gift of teaching. Again, to be able to build up and bless the body. And so as we go through this series, we're going to take a look, not just here in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, but also Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. We're going to be taking a look at various different permanent ministry gifts that hopefully will help you see, like, oh, yeah, I'm passionate when it comes to that gift or gifts. I think I'm equipped by the Lord with these gifts, and I want to be able to use them. Well, again, Christian, you know what the purpose is. Why you have these gifts? To bless the body of Christ and thus bring glory to Christ, which leads into our text for today, verses 12 through 27, where Paul continues to talk to the Corinthians about this idea of spiritual gifts. But then Paul has to give them an illustration, an example from the human body to drive home the point that just like you don't want to divide your human body, in like manner, you don't want to divide the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts and church division? May it never be. Let's take a look at our text. Starting in verse 12, Paul starts out with this idea of an illustration, or at least an example, about the human body. He says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body," he goes on to say, "so also is Christ." So real simple. Paul starts out this section, by kind of setting things up and saying, let me give you an example of the human body. You're looking at me right now, one body, but I have various different members. I've got a hand, hands, I've got a foot, feet, I've got a nose, I've got ears, I've got eyes. Even though I have various different members, nevertheless, I have one body. And each member, though different, still contributes to the unity, to the health of my physical body, right? I mean, it's good that both my eyes and my ears are functioning properly. Though they are different members, nevertheless, they contribute to the health and unity of my physical body. I need those members, just like I need my hands, my feet. If something is wrong with one or even a few of the members of my physical body, it is going to impact the overall body, right? Well, Paul says, again, at the end of verse 12, so also it is with Christ's body, the church. Why was Paul saying this to them? Well, obviously, the different members in the body of Christ were creating division, discord. And thus, in that church, you started to have an unhealthy body of Christ because certain members were saying, I'm more important. Other members were saying, well, I guess because I don't have this certain gift or that certain gift, I'm not so important. And it all had to center around this idea of spiritual gifts. Some were elevating themselves and saying, look at me, look at us. We're the super spiritual. Look at the gifts we've been given. Others were jealous and envious and going, oh, man, I guess I'm a nobody. I don't have those gifts. I just have these certain gifts, and they're not as showy and as spectacular as what these guys have. I guess I don't really count. And the body of Christ was suffering. And unfortunately, that which was happening back then happens in so many churches today. And that's why I think this is such a very important topic, a very hot topic when it comes to our modern day churches. Again, a lot of confusion, a lot of controversies. So Paul starts out this section saying, hey, think of the human body. Many members, but they all matter because they all contribute to the health and unity of the one physical body. Paul says it's the same with Christ, with his body, the church. And then he goes to verse 13, reminding the Corinthians how they were placed into the body of Christ. He says, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, baptized, placed into the body of Christ. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. So you were baptized into the body, placed into the body of Christ, but you also were made to drink of the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was placed into you. Christian, you've been placed into the body of Christ, i.e. baptized into the body. Christian, the Holy Spirit has been placed into you, i.e. you have drinking or drunk of the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear. I didn't say you're drunk on the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so there is this unity. You've been placed into the body. The Holy Spirit's been placed into you. And you have been given, Christian, a unique combination of spiritual gifts. So unique, as we discussed in our recent teachings, there's nobody else here on the face of the earth who is gifted exactly the way you are. So for you to feel like, well, your gifts don't matter, for you to be jealous and envious because other people have certain other gifts, well, wait a second, you have to be careful, because are you blaming God for how he uniquely designed your specific gifts for you? Be careful with that. In like manner, you don't want to be lusting for more gifts and different gifts, thinking that somehow what you have is not enough, and again, being disappointed with God, not content with what God has given you. There's still others. You don't want to be a show off and say, well, look, I have the gift of teaching. Look how wonderful, how great I am, especially compared to these people who don't have the gift. Be careful. Did you choose your spiritual gifts? No. Did you earn your spiritual gifts? No. Did you deserve your spiritual gifts? No. Did you pray to receive those spiritual gifts? No. Well, again, remember verse 11, just as a reminder. How do we get our spiritual gifts? But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, each believer individually, just as he wills. I can take no credit for any of the gifts I have. I can't take credit for the gift of salvation, and I can't take credit for the spiritual gifts I've been given. But I do know this. I know why I've been given these spiritual gifts, to bless the body of Christ. And when I'm doing that, the body is blessed, Christ is glorified. And that's when I then have that feeling of contentment, joy, gratitude for the unspeakable privilege of being able to use the gifts that I've been freely given. I can't boast and brag and say, oh, look at me, how so these people are learning from the teaching. Wait a second. That just creates division, discord. That's what was happening in that church back then. And again, that's why Paul said, back to verse 12, using the human body as an example, for even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ in his body. Again, verse 13, how did you as a Christian get into the body of Christ? You were baptized into the one body, placed into the body of Christ. Also, the Holy Spirit was placed into you. You had nothing to do with this. I had nothing to do with this. This was a sovereign work of God. And now, Christian, that you're in the body, that you're in Christ, you've been given a unique combination of spiritual gifts. What are you going to do with them? Create division in the church? Either by showing off with pride and saying, look how much better I am than everybody else, or being envious and jealous and upset with God because you didn't receive certain gifts. No. Paul goes on now to talk about the human body, to make his point about the spiritual body, the church, the body of Christ. Verse 14, he goes to the human body again. For the body is not one member, but many. We already talked about that, right? I have one body you're looking at, many members. Verse 15, Paul shows the absurdity, by using the example of a physical body, he shows the absurdity of having division in Christ's body, by using this example of the human body. Verse 15, he says, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Paul says, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body, is it? No. The foot says, well, because I'm not, you know, like a hand, I guess I don't matter. Paul says, what? Verse 16, he now goes to the ear. He says, if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. I don't really matter. Paul says, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body, is it? No. Boy, there were so many people in that church in Corinth back then that were like the foot, looking at these others and saying, wow, look, they have the gift of tongues and prophecy, and I don't have that. I guess I don't matter. I'm just a foot. I'm not the hand. In like manner, some were saying, well, I'm just an ear. I'm not the eye. Do you see how the division was occurring? He goes on to say, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? That's a great point. If the hole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And then verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, physical body and the church, the spiritual body. And then look what he says, just as God desired. To show off and say, look how wonderful I am because of certain gifts given to you by the Lord, that is to rob God of his glory because he gifted you just as he desired. In like manner, to be jealous and envious, covetous, and say, well, I guess I don't matter because I don't have certain gifts. That's to say that God made a mistake. Oof. No, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the physical body as well as in his church, just as he desired. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where would the body be? Great question. But now there are many members, but one body. Many members, physical body. Many members, spiritual body, the church. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. In other words, those who didn't have the more spectacular gifts that were still in operation back then, you know, the tongues and prophecy and healing and all that, Paul was saying to those members who didn't have those spiritual gifts that they are vital to the church. Even though they're not up front, even though they're not in the spotlight, every member mattered. And it's the same today. Look, I've been given the gift of teaching. Again, it wasn't something I looked for, asked for, deserved, prayed for. Over time, after the Lord had saved me, I started to discover a desire to study his word, a deep desire and a joy in studying his word, and then a joy to share it. I had never, listen, to teach God's word, that was never even a blip on the radar screen of my life prior to being saved. No way. But how is it that I teach now? Because God has gifted me with certain spiritual gifts, just as he desired. But does that make me, because I'm always out front, standing behind the pulpit, sitting in front of the camera, does that make me more important than those who set up for the church services, those who are involved in making sure that the technology is handled properly so I can do my teaching and various different things? How about the people who go and visit people who are sick in our church? Are they less presentable, less important? Because, you know, they're not out front teaching like I am. Absolutely not. In fact, Paul goes on to say, again, it's much truer, verse 22, let me repeat, that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. I say this to people in our church all the time. Look, if you want to give compliments and be thankful for somebody using their gifts, you can skip me. I don't need to hear it, okay? I just teach God's word, and I trust the Holy Spirit to work through his word. I'm just a delivery boy. That's it. My job, just don't mess up the menu that God's already given. But there are so many people in our ministry who selflessly serve behind the scenes to make it possible for me to do what I do. Those are the people who deserve honor. Those are the people who deserve an encouraging text or a hug and saying, hey, thank you for your service. Not that you want them to get big heads and become arrogant, but they're the ones who need to be honored, not the people who are always up front, right? Middle of verse 24, Paul says, God has so commanded the body, or composed the body, I should say, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body. Do you see it? This is Paul's point here. Spiritual gifts and division in the church? What? So Paul goes and gives an example, an illustration of the human body. He reminds the Corinthians how they had been placed into the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit placed in them. And he says, the body of Christ, the church, is just like a human body. One body, many different members. Each member matters. If the ear says, well, I don't really matter because I'm not an eye, what? If the foot says, well, I don't really count because I'm not a hand, what? In like manner, in the church. If somebody says, well, because I don't teach or I don't do this, I'm not up front, I don't really matter. Come on, that's not true. And those who are up front need to be very careful that they're not exalting themselves and saying, look at me, because that is what was happening in that church back then. That's why Paul went through this entire example here of the physical body, so that, verse 25, there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Right? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And then he concludes, verse 27, now you are Christ's body. He says, think of the example of the human body. Now he turns to the Christian and says, you are members of Christ's body. And individually, members of it. And every member matters. And to have division in the church because of spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts sovereignly given by our triune God to each believer. Spiritual gifts that nobody asked for, nobody earned, nobody deserved. They were freely given for the purpose of building up the body. And we create division in the body? We got a bunch of feet saying, I don't really count because I'm not a hand. We got a bunch of ears saying, I don't really matter because I'm not an eye. We got a bunch of eyes saying, look how wonderful I am. Bunch of hands saying, look how wonderful we are because we're kind of out front. What? May it never be. How is it, Christian, that you were placed into the body? Same way I was. We were baptized into the body. How is it, Christian, that the Holy Spirit has been placed into you? Same way he was placed into me. How is it, Christian, that you have certain spiritual gifts? I have certain spiritual gifts. Freely given to us. We know the purpose, and it's not to create division. And oh, by the way, when we create division in the body, you know, the body of Christ, you know who we're really attacking? Let me give you a couple examples as I conclude. Go to Acts chapter 9 real quick. Remember the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, the terrorist, before the Lord graciously saved him? We read how Saul was before the Lord saved him. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. The Lord had already ascended to heaven. Churches had been planted, right? Starting on the day of Pentecost, the church in Jerusalem, and then the gospel started to spread. Well, Saul the Pharisee, who eventually would become the apostle Paul the preacher, Saul the Pharisee was putting out contracts on Christians in Christian churches. He was breathing threats and murder, it says, against the disciples of the Lord, the church. In fact, he went to the high priest, and he asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that was a reference to followers of Christ. Back then, calling people part of the way was like a term of derision. It was looking down on them, making fun of them. Oh, they belong to the way. So Paul's looking for permission from the high priest to go hunt down Christians in the churches up there in Damascus. And he went there because if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, Paul would bring them bound to Jerusalem and try to force them to blaspheme Christ. Well, look what happened, verse 3. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who was Saul going to Damascus to persecute? Christians. What was he trying to destroy? Christian churches. Notice what Jesus says. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus responded, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up, enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And you can continue to read the rest of the chapter on your own to see Paul's salvation experience, his conversion. But notice what Jesus said to Saul. when you're persecuting my people, and you're persecuting my church, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Those Corinthians in that church 2,000 years ago, when it came to spiritual gifts, they were creating church division. Who were they persecuting? Each other? Yes. Who were they hurting? The body of Christ? Yes. But ultimately, it was an attack on Christ. And today, when we see division in churches, especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, when some are elevating themselves and exalting themselves and saying, look how wonderful I am. Others are jealous and envious. They don't have the certain gifts. And it just creates division. Ultimately, it's an attack on Christ. It's His church. It's His body. Man, I never want to even imagine my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. I don't even want to imagine Him looking at me and saying, Andrew, look at this division you're creating in my body. Because of spiritual gifts. Andrew, why are you persecuting me? Oh, hopefully you understand why it's so important to make sure, especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, we allow for no church division. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.